Matthew chapter 5. We'll read starting with verse 13, and I'll read down to verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, the early part of Jesus' sermon as he stands here on the Mount of Olives and delivers it. He talks about some beatitudes, some attitudes that ought to be in our life. And then he kind of changes gears beginning in verse 13. And he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Last Thursday, we talked about possessors of truth, not pretenders, but possessors of truth. And those who possess the truth are going to be performers of that truth. And part of that performance is to proclaim that truth. We saw in verse 27 of James chapter 1 where the pure religion is to go to the fatherless, to the widows. And we made the spiritual application there of taking the gospel to those who are without a heavenly father, to those who have no spiritual husband, no bridegroom coming in the rapture for them. Every possessor of the truth is to be a proclaimer of that truth. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. We are ambassadors for Christ. And over again in the scripture, if we've been saved, if we are a child of God, if we possess the truth, then we are to proclaim the truth. Now, how is it that we have failed so miserably in proclaiming the truth? How is it that we are so far behind in reaching people with the gospel? They say that over 60% of the world's population has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. God has commanded us, He has commissioned us, He has enabled us, and yet we seem to be so far behind. And while cults are growing and atheism grows, Christianity seems to be becoming silent when it comes to the proclamation of truth. During Thanksgiving, I had the privilege of being on an ordination council, and as I drove into the church where it was being held, the driveway comes up alongside of the church. If the microphone represented the church building, the driveway came up alongside the right side of that church. To the right of that driveway, just right across from the church building, across that driveway, there was some construction going on. And I thought as I pulled in, wow, the church is building again. And they have some beautiful buildings and a nice property. And I thought, wow, they're building something over here on this side of the driveway. But that's not the case. What's going up there, right across the driveway from the Baptist church, is a Muslim mosque. I was preaching recently in a town in the South where the church outgrew its buildings and sold those buildings to another church, a church that preaches the gospel, but maybe isn't quite as aggressive as the church that sold them those buildings, and they moved to another property on that same road down the road a ways. But as you go to that church, you pass by the old property. But on the back of that old property owned by a Baptist church is a Muslim mosque. They sold the back part of their property, the Baptist did, to the Muslims to build a mosque. How is it that this is happening? How is it that we who possess the truth are so far behind in proclaiming that truth? Well, here in our text, God uses two metaphors, salt and light, that give us three insights into the truth that we are to proclaim. We've been talking all semester about truth, absolute truth, and biblical truth, and how that truth needs to permeate our thinking and our lives. But how are we to proclaim this truth? And there's some insights here from these metaphors that I believe can help us. First of all, we see the power of truth. In verse 13, Jesus declares, "You are the salt of the earth." In verse 15, he declares, "You are the light of the world." Now let's think about those metaphors. Salt is a seasoner. In other words, salt makes things taste better. If you have trouble eating something, it helps to put a little salt on it. As an evangelist, I have managed to eat a lot of things over my lifetime, and the only way I ate them was that there was some salt on the table. Salt makes things taste better. It is a seasoner. But salt is also a preservative. Prior to the days of refrigeration, salt was used to preserve food. Meat was salted in order that it would be preserved without refrigeration. So the Lord Jesus uses this metaphor of salt. I wonder, are we preserving the truth? Are we buying it up and not selling out? Are we seasoning the truth? Are we making it taste good to the world? Does the world want the truth because of what they see in your life? Is there enough salt in your life to say to the world, "Wow, I want that. I want to taste that. I want to see that God is good"? Years ago in the city of Chicago, a little boy named John went to a Sunday school class. This boy was not dressed well. In fact, he was dirty. His hair was disheveled. His clothes were partially torn. He was from what people referred to in those days, the other side of the tracks. But somehow he had received an invitation, and he went to that Sunday school class and sat down around a table with some boys and girls who were well-dressed and well-mannered and well-groomed. The faithful Sunday school teacher shared the lesson that morning, and because of the visitor that was there, she especially stressed the fact that Jesus loves us and sent his son to die on a cross, and Jesus would save anyone who would call upon him. And she exemplified and accentuated the message of the gospel. And when she finished, she said to the class, "Now, boys and girls, we're going to be going upstairs to hear the pastor preach. But," she said, "I want you to listen to the message, and if after the message God tells you that you need to be saved, I'm going to be right here in this Sunday school classroom. And you just come back down here, and I'll be glad to take the Bible and show you how to be saved." With that, she prayed and dismissed the boys and girls, and they went up to the main auditorium to hear the pastor preach. Well, most of the children went to sit with their parents, and John, he sat by himself as he had come alone. Some of those children informed their parents of the dirty little boy that had been in their class that didn't smell so good, whose clothes were torn. And so after that service ended, one of the mothers marched down to that Sunday school classroom and got in the face of that Sunday school teacher, put her finger in the face of that teacher and said, "I understand that you had a boy in this class today from the other side of the tracks. I'll have you know that my husband and I put a lot of money in this church. And if that boy ever comes to this class again, we will leave this church and our money will go with us. Get rid of that boy." She turned in her anger to march out, almost knocking down John, who was standing in the doorway. The teacher, brushing tears from her eyes, looked up and saw John and quickly composed herself and said, "John, come in, come in." But he remained motionless in the doorway. She said, "It's okay, John, come in, let me talk to you." He said, "No." No, he said, you told me that God loved me, but it wasn't true. You told me that Jesus died for me, but it wasn't true. The teacher said, no, John, please, don't pay attention to what you just heard. Come in, let me share with you in the Bible how to be saved. He said, no, I'll never come back again. And with that, he turned and walked out. Some years later, all of Chicago picked up their morning paper and read the headlines. John Dillinger, dead. Shot down by police gunfire in the midst of a crime. Chicago's most notorious criminal was that little boy who stood in a Sunday school classroom to be saved. But because someone wasn't salt, because someone's salt had lost its savor, it was good for nothing. Are you salt? Do people want Jesus Christ because of your life? Are you preserving truth through the way that you live? Are you presenting truth in a way that people want what you have? Let's think about light. Light dispels darkness. You turn on a light, the darkness is gone. No amount of darkness can put out one light. And God calls us here to be light. I wonder, does your light dispel any darkness at work? Does your light dispel any darkness when you walk through the mall? Does your life have enough light to dispel any darkness in this world? Truth has power. Truth as a light, truth as salt has great power to preserve, has great power to season that truth and make it desirable. Truth has the power to dispel darkness in this world. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The power of truth. But notice, secondly, the place for truth. These metaphors show us where truth is needed. Salt is needed where things are corrupt. If salt is preservative in nature and it has the ability to preserve, then salt is necessary and needed where things have the opportunity to become corrupt. Light is needed where there is darkness. Look, we can get all excited about truth here in chapel. And we can listen to these messages on truth, and we can come forward and make all kinds of decisions, and we can say, man, this is great. I believe in the truth, and I'm glad I'm on truth's side. But truth is needed at the mall. Truth is needed at your workplace. Truth is needed at Beck's. Truth is needed at the park. Truth is needed in L.A. this morning. We can get excited about truth, and we can get all excited about, you know, being on the side of truth, but the place for truth is where there's corruptness, where there is darkness. Young people, our doctrine is conservative, but our demeanor needs to become radical. We are conservative in our doctrine. We believe in conservative doctrine from the Word of God that's going to make us almost look odd in this culture in which we live. But I'm telling you, we got to get past conservatism when it comes to our witness, when it comes to our testimony. We've got to get radical about this thing. Timid pastel Christianity isn't going to shake this world. It's time for bold colors. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and you should be showing forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil among you, they may by your good works glorify God in the day of visitation. We got to quit trying to blend truth with air. These Bible versions, contemporary worship, the lowering of dress and music standards. God didn't save you to be a chameleon. He saved you to be a champion of truth. We've got to get radical. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concordeth Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with the temple of idols, whose temple you are? For God has said, I'll dwell in them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We've got to take salt to the corruption. We've got to take light to the darkness. Some old watered down salt isn't going to work. Something that's lost its savor, something that's lost its distinctiveness. Light under a bushel isn't going to show the way to anybody in this world. You put your light under your worldly clothes and your worldly music and your worldly dating standards, it doesn't make a difference in the darkness. We've got to get radical. Jesus said of John the Baptist, he was a burning and shining light. They knew who he was. Oh yeah, different, weird, peculiar, you bet. And the world took notice of his message. And while we're conservative in what we believe from the Word of God, when you put it up next to the liberal agenda of our day, we are as conservative as you can be. But I'll tell you, we've got to get radical when it comes to getting out into the darkness and getting out into the corruption. That's what I'm talking about. In a few days, we get to go down on that boulevard. And there's music going on that people have never heard in their life. Never heard music like that. They haven't heard that message. And if we go down there in our worldly clothes and our worldly attitudes with our worldly desire to date and all we're doing is just having an activity, we're missing the boat. We got to go down there as salt and light and share the truth in the midst of darkness, in the midst of corruption. So the power of truth, the place of truth, but then we see finally the purpose of that truth. Verse 16, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This matter of the truth is not for our glory or our credit. We've got to stand for the truth because this world needs to change. Truth isn't the norm anymore. And so we've got to be different. We've got to live the truth to make a difference. Do you want this world to continue in the darkness it's in, void of truth? Do you want your children growing up believing that this is a dog? I think that's where I started this whole series, didn't I? Is that what we want? The world to grow up, your children to grow up, your grandchildren to grow up in a world where we don't know the difference between a piano and a dog? Then we've got to do something with the truth. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What are we doing here? Are we here to have fun or leave some footprints? Are we here to play with toys or preach the truth? Are we going to spin our wheels or spread the word? Are we going to live for whatever? Or the Word of God? We're going to be more in tune with a cell phone or the call of God? Are we more worried about our friends or our future? Are we going to mess with the trivial or are we going to model the truth? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to buy the truth and sell it not.